Because you know I'm all about that
backward compatibility. Backward compatibility.
No trouble. I'm all about that
backward compatibility. Backward compatibility.
No trouble. I'm all about that
backward compatibility. Backward compatibility.
No trouble. I'm all about that
backward compatibility. Backward compatibility.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no side.
Hey guys. It's Boss Bro Radio.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yet again.
I thought this was the old man's happy hour.
You're right. This is the old man's happy hour, and we're going to be discussing Orange is the New Black. Season 3.
An individual whom I correspond with told me, I'm going to go watch Lesbians in Prison this weekend. And I was like, there's probably a better way you could have described that show.
maybe not.
One that didn't make you sound like a skis.
Well, this is Boss Bro Radio. I'm Griffin Hoffman.
I'm Jeff Brewer.
And we're here to talk about E3, the Microsoft press conference.
Yes. Nathan Fillion, man.
Yep.
He was in it.
Sure was.
Looked like a cartoon.
Sure did.
Yes. He looked like you know those pictures of like realistic versions of like Sonic and Mario?
Oh yeah.
He was like realistic Nathan Fillion.
He's the Rule 34 Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so start of the conference. Proved me wrong right away starting off with Halo 5.
You know, it's funny because we'll get to this a little later, but I made all these predictions that I didn't lock in that were accurate. And then everything I locked in was just wrong.
Well, yeah, I think that the locks were the more like risky ones that we wanted to take, right? Which we'll see in our further episodes where we break down the individual conferences. I think was it EA where you specifically say Mass Effect and I say no Mass Effect? So there's a hard swing on that. I mean, someone's going to be right, someone's going to be wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah.
Anyway, though, Halo. Let's
Halo.
Turn things off.
Yeah. Looks
good. It does look pretty good. I've always felt that the 343i Halos looked fun. I think they are different. I think they feel like a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like that direction.
Did you play Halo 4?
I didn't touch Halo 4. I've only seen Halo 4 being played by others, but it appears different. Mm-hmm. But is that appearance justified, or is it just an appearance?
Well, I'm not an expert on Halo by any means. I got really into Reach, and went down a rabbit hole of like reading about all the lore.
So you were right there with Bonnie Ross, deeply invested in that.
I was deeply, deeply invested, learning about Mjolnir armor and Spartan programs and Mark 1 through 8s or whatever the hell they were.
So you probably know all about Locke, right? Wasn't he from Reach?
No idea.
All right.
but I did play 4 quite a bit. I liked that a lot. I even played the multiplayer and had a good time with it. But the story was super disjointed, and you know, I like the combat puzzles of Halo, but the story is kind of what I'm, sadly enough, what I'm there for. I don't know.
Okay,
maybe that's the wrong thing to do, but
I don't think you're the only one, though. I think people cared about that story as much as I ridicule it for being just like another space story. I think people were invested in that lore because people were like. People were thrilled when everything like came full circle in the end of the third game.
Yeah.
Like people were into it, man. So you're not the only one.
No, I'm not. And I mean, by no means am I like really invested in the material either. I just had a good time going along for that ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're probably going to have a great time trying to figure out whether Master Chief is a hero or a villain.
Or both.
It was such a good line.
Yeah. A hero or a traitor. So the demo starts with you playing as the Locke side. Presumably you can play as both Master Chief and Locke through the campaign through like two separate like Autobots, Decepticons, episodic style playthroughs, I'm assuming. But the demo they showed off had you playing as Locke's team, which had, what was it, Nathan Fillion as Butch. No, Buck.
Buster.
Yeah.
some BU name.
So one thing that was showcased was the squad tactics, like you're commanding your team over the battlefield, like telling them to advance and provide cover and splitting the team up and something along those
now,
lines.
Now, is that all new?
Yes.
I actually thought that looked pretty cool.
Yeah. Maybe in Reach there was some degree of communication with the team, or I don't think you could really command them like you can in this, where you're telling people to heal each other or lay down cover or something like that.
Now, here's the question that they refused to address in the actual conference. Connect enabled?
Connect encouraged.
Because they did that with Binary Domain, and people kind of like that, right?
Yes, except it didn't work at all.
Okay. Yeah. We can talk about this in a little bit, but Microsoft, they didn't say the word connect once in that entire conference.
Sure did not. Nope.
It was like a bad dream.
Halo 5 looked good.
It did.
Big set PC things, lots of particle effects. The enemies from the fourth game, I forget what they're called. The ones that were in the Dyson
Metroids.
Sphere. Yeah, the Metroids. they are back, and they have new enemy types, because they were kind of lacking in 4, despite them being like the new showpiece. It was like, there's three dudes that you can fight that are new, and they all kind of look the same. So in this one, you know, the trailer ends with you fighting, with the character fighting this gigantic behemoth techno demon. And that was
pretty
that was
badass.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the look of that thing.
Yeah.
They also touched on the multiplayer a bit. I guess is 24 player multiplayer, is that a first for Halo? I just don't know.
I don't know either. I want to say sure. It's I don't know.
It sounded impressive, and then there was
maybe 16 was the standard before. That seems a little bit safer.
Okay, yeah. And then they were like Warzone, and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what Warzone is, but it's there.
Blood Gulch. Griff Ball.
Oh,
that's about all I know.
But
Blue.
Yeah, it looked like a solid game. I don't know. I don't know where the excitement level for Halo is these days, but it looked really good. I mean, if I were a person who liked shooters, I'd probably play that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I appreciated that, even though they like indicated that aim down sights was going to be a thing in this series now. If you'll notice from the gameplay, I don't think they were really aiming down sights at all.
No,
like it was all, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I didn't notice it. I didn't notice it in a way that I'm like, that's not Halo.
Yeah, it still felt pretty Halo. I think that maybe some of the set PC stuff for me actually kind of made me, because I tend to think of Halo more in terms of the first game, which was like kind of giant playgrounds where you had kind of had your own set PC moments from the original gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as the series has gone on, it's become kind of tighter and more linear. But but my memories of Halo, and I guess this is true in Halo 2 as well, maybe not so much in Halo 3, I don't remember, are just like these vast open expanses where you fight scads of enemies, and like it's not so much about like, you know, this thing is falling apart as you run across it, except for, of course, the Warthog escape levels. But it's more like just like, you know, you're fighting crazy enemies and crazy shit happens. So that was kind of weird to me, because I don't usually think of those games as set PC. But I don't know. Is that how you experienced Halo as well?
At the very least, like Halo combat is so exciting that you don't really have time to focus on the set piece. But when you're like, I think since Halo ODST, there's kind of been this movement to more like, instead of like battle arena and then walk to the next battle arena, now they're kind of doing a little bit more of a pacing in it, where it's like, you know, here's the amp up with the action when you're just running around an area. Okay, a bunch of monsters. Okay, now, and the vehicle scene, like Halo 4 did it quite well, where you're kind of jumping around from action to action to action. So
got it.
It was good.
It seems like that might be like a hallmark of 343i versus Bungie.
Sure.
I think they were more of the open kind of thing. But yeah, it looks pretty Halo. I think it'll do well.
No doubt.
And then you want to go on to our next big reveal here?
Yes.
And this is the one that excited me.
Mm-hmm.
Inafune, they got another Japanese person to make a game that isn't actually a game yet.
Yeah, slap a name on that bitch.
Recore.
Yeah, so we get our first taste of things to come for the rest of the press conferences, a CG trailer loaded with emotion.
Yeah. And he had a robot dog, which, you know, okay, start rolling your eyes, and the dog died. The dog died in the trailer, though.
The dog killed itself to protect the girl.
In the trailer, but then it wasn't really a dog, it was just an orb.
It was an orb.
So there.
And then she puts the orb in the monkey, and now she has a monkey friend.
Yeah. I thought it looked, I mean, I think the concept looks awesome. Obviously, there's no gameplay, and this is literally another Scalebound situation.
Mm-hmm.
But things that excited me about this title, Armature. I don't think Armature has ever worked on a game before that wasn't a remaster.
Or that wasn't canned.
Oh, what was the one they were making?
The first person Mega Man.
Oh, yeah. Do you think this is that?
No. Because they put out, there was a leaked video of that, and that is hot garbage.
Well, Armature is technically impressive.
Sure, yeah. I mean, by hot garbage, I mean totally uninteresting in terms of a Mega Man game, but like kind of cool what they're showing off.
Okay, so there's potential there. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, the moment you have a robot girl, you're like, oh, is that Roll over there?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, no, it looked really cool. I was really impressed with what I saw in terms of the concept. I wish it wasn't a CG trailer, but I'm excited to see Armature getting into the unique game development.
Now, this ever stated to be Xbox exclusive?
I think it is an Xbox exclusive.
Okay, so there you go. Check that one off your list, Jeff. Something you're interested in coming to the Xbox One only.
No, it was going to be the Mass Effect.
No.
All right, fine. I got one.
You can still play Mass Effect 1 on other platforms.
No, those don't matter anymore.
Oh,
those
true. They're dead.
Those are so 2008, man.
Wait, can't you play Mass Effect on the Wii U?
Mass Effect 3.
Oh, just 3? Okay.
Yeah, so
we got it.
If you want to play Mass Effect on current gen consoles, your only chance. Well, this is jumping to the next tidbit here, but your only option is the Xbox One, thanks to the announcement of backwards compatibility. It was so funny because the backwards compatibility announcement started off as a megaton, and then they just did everything they possibly could have to temper expectations. They were like, guess what, everyone? You can play Xbox 360 games natively on the Xbox One. And I think they forgot what natively meant because they're emulated.
Right. yeah. First of all, you have to download them.
Yeah. Well, they were like, just put your disc in the console and download the game.
Yeah. It's just that easy.
And make sure your game is on the approved list.
Yep.
Also, our list is 20 titles.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened with the 360 as well, is it had backwards compatibility, but not for all games.
Yeah, well, this is even more of a half step because it's a very small list right now, and there is the promise of the list growing. But you know, like when I heard this, my first thought was, "Oh my god, I can buy an Xbox One, skip the 360 entirely, and play Lost Odyssey on it."
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, oh, well, fuck, Lost Odyssey is a JRPG that nobody played, so I'm screwed. It's not going to get preferential treatment for backwards compatibility.
Right.
So it went from a feature that might have actually sold me on an Xbox One to a feature that's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
The other thing, too, is that it looked, when they were playing Mass Effect, and I kind of attributed this to like press conference weirdness, didn't it look a little bit chuggy?
It did, but you know, it's hard to say. You know, maybe it's emulation, maybe it's filters, or maybe it's just because, you know, we're used to seeing good looking games now.
Well, I wasn't even talking about the appearance of the game, but just the frame rate looked off, like 20 frames per second.
It could have been. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Don't know. I mean, it's a cool feature. It's awesome that they're actually trying to do that, because I think it's going to excite a lot of people. And I think the important thing is that they get games working, and hopefully it's as easy as they made it sound, but I doubt it is.
Yeah. And I expect that in order to play a game, you have to have it in your disk drive, even after you download it, so you're not able to just, like, load up your library and then sell all your games and 360 to GameStop.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. That'd actually be a pretty good use of that technology that they were floating, you know, when they first unveiled the Xbox One. Having this kind of, you know, disk in DRM type thing, mm-hmm. I think I could swallow that a lot more easily if it's for old 360 titles than if it's for, you know what I mean, for Xbox One games.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Plus, you know, I like discs, so I don't really care.
Yeah, as do I, as do I.
Yeah. So that was followed up by yet another system enhancement?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. This was possibly the strangest announcement for me in the entire conference.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knew it was coming, that there was going to be a new wireless controller that had the...
Well, I thought we knew that there would be the one with the headphone jack.
Right, right.
But this was totally out of left field, right?
Yeah, with the upgrades.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. The upgrades, I guess, that they detailed were swappable buttons, which include like different thumbsticks, different D-pad, and then additional paddle buttons on the back of the controller, which is very reminiscent of like those elite gamer rigs that you can like buy for $100 and slap onto your controller. Or they're also like, like
also like controllers for quadriplegics.
Yes, yes.
Often use paddles.
Yep.
I think it was a really cool announcement. Also, I think we were speculating that the bumpers might be out, but I think I looked at some more pictures. I think they are actually still in.
Okay. I was just really curious about that as to why they would put paddles on it and still retain the bumpers.
I don't know. Well, I think it's going to be a huge boon for disabled gamers.
Absolutely.
I think for sure it's going to be a godsend to have an official controller that actually caters to their needs. Mm-hmm. And the thing has totally remappable buttons as well. Mm-hmm.
Remappable and like buttons. And then
adjustable
like
dead zones, trigger sensitivity, everything.
A hard lock button for hair trigger, which is kind of cool.
Oh, wow. That's super cool. Yeah, and it's really a kind of an exciting controller, and the price is hard to swallow at $150 bucks, but it also works on PC. So this is going to be a controller, I think, it's very niche, but I think the people whom it's designed for are going to be absolutely thrilled to have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a really cool step.
Yep. Yeah. I think if they could do it for half that price for $80, it would kill.
Yeah, I think that they can afford to do it for this price, though, because I think they're targeting a small market, and I think the market that they're targeting has a lot of need. Mm. Like, I think, you know, the certain kind of gamers and also just people with disabilities are going to be all over this thing, even at this ridiculous price.
Yeah.
Because they're so limited otherwise.
Yep, yeah. And then I think they specifically said they're looking to target the elite gamer, too.
Yeah. Such a stupid concept.
Yeah. Yep.
It's elite.
Yeah.
Why can't Sony and Microsoft get past everything being elite? I can't take it. It's too much.
Yeah.
That was really cool, though.
Well, then they followed that up with some game stuff. Todd Howard came back on stage and gave a pretty lackluster performance compared to his previous night.
Well, the problem was he was literally just rehashing some of the plot points from last night.
Yeah, and he actually specifically mentioned, like, showed this last night, didn't he?
Yeah. Something like that. He was like, you saw last night. And then he's like, I'm going to read the same cue cards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so then they pulled out a few additional details, like going over one of the new weapon things, which is like a crank weapon. I mean, in the games before, you had like a pump weapon, right?
Nope. You might have.
That was
never
a different game,
it.
I was thinking.
I was going to say, most of the weapons in Fallout, you just press the button and it fired.
Yeah, I was thinking of, that Stalker game? No, the Clear Sky? No?
Shadow of Chernobyl? I don't know.
No, what was the one that got the remaster recently with the two games on one disc?
Call of Fry?
Metro. Yeah, there was a gun
where
you had to pump it up and maintain the PSI for you to actually do damage with it. So it reminded me of that, like adding some layers of strategy.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a little tidbit. It was like, here's that.
Yeah.
But then they dropped an interesting little, two big pieces, actually. First of all, obviously the big thing is that PC mods are going to work on Xbox One.
Ooh,
which is crazy.
Yeah,
that's super cool. If I were an Xbox One owner, that would cause me to think about not getting it on PC, and I buy all Bethesda software titles on PC. So that's really cool. And then the other interesting little tidbit, this is way less of a big deal. Fallout 3 is going to be included with Fallout 4.
Yeah, it was a slide like tucked away on the side of it where it's like, includes Fallout 3.
It was their little banner on the bottom that they show where they're like, pre-order now for exclusive content. But it was interesting because this is kind of, I think, their value add strategy over at Xbox for now is going to be throw in the old Xbox 360 game and then make it compatible with our emulator. And they actually did this with a couple of titles that they announced throughout the show. So I think that's an interesting little way to add value and just never let go of the old generation, just ever. It's all they got.
Never let go, Jack.
But yeah, I'm excited about the modding capability. I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, that is a super cool thing because I remember playing like Elder Scrolls and stuff like that, and even Halo games. People telling me like, oh yeah, you can hack your console to get in there and put all these mods into it where you can play Elder Scrolls that's modded or Halo with these modded match types, and people are like breaking the system open to go and do that stuff, and I was like, wow, that seems, I want to do that, but I don't want to, you know, destroy my integrity of the system. So I'm really happy that they're making that decision to integrate.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think they're going to have to do some kind of mod testing because it would seem to introduce some system vulnerabilities to allow mods to, like, weird code that hasn't been approved by Microsoft to run within this game, you know?
Hey, well, you know what? They might have a solution for that.
What's that?
Something that they elaborate on a little bit later in the press conference.
Oh. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So we can skip ahead, just touch on that. They announced something called Xbox Preview.
Game Preview.
Yeah. So essentially, it's going to be like an early access. You can trial a game. I don't know how much time that is that you get on that. I don't know if they said, did they?
Did I say? Let me check.
It's not on our notes here.
No, it just says every game in the program has to have a free trial. I don't think they gave it an actual length for that.
Yeah.
It might be you get to choose.
Yeah, so that could be like your test bed for mods and stuff like that, and kind of like your green light area of what's working and what's not working, and kind of have the populace regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Xbox Live Arcade, what was the consumer one where they could submit games?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it.
Yep.
Xbox Live Indie Games, is that what it's called?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
Something like that.
Uh-huh. Indie Arcade, maybe.
Yeah, I think that might have been it.
Yeah,
might have been it.
This is cool.
It's a really interesting step for them to take, for sure. Definitely, like you said, definitely aping Steam Early Access, but really interesting to see that in a locked down console environment, and I would imagine creates some risk of breaking your console, but maybe they've done some wizardry and like sandbox these games or something. I don't know. Maybe the way that code runs on the Xbox One is such that it's not an issue, because maybe the games look like Metro style apps or something, and they're all sandboxed, but it seems kind of dangerous to me.
Right. Oh, well, then, you know, there was a lot of talk of there being a closer tie to Microsoft 10 with Xbox One. So maybe in time we'll see more of that come out, and we'll see like there's some compatibility between the two of them, and the testing can happen at a PC level and can be moved then to an Xbox level or something.
That would probably be a safe assumption. They're definitely kind of, I don't think they played it up too much in this conference, but they're talking about kind of the interoperability between Windows 10 and Xbox One. I mean, they touched on it by mentioning that Oculus, if you want to play here, I don't know if you saw this, it actually came out before E3. You can play Xbox One games on Oculus in a virtual theater.
Yeah.
Which is as dumb as it sounds.
Yeah.
By streaming them through your Windows 10 PC.
Sit in this fake room and look at this fake wall with this game small on it.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of other weird game programs, Peter Moore took the stage from EA and talked about EA Access and how that is going to be free for 2 weeks on the Xbox One,
which is clever. I think there was a lot of stuff that they were trying to do. I just noticed that they were trying to be like, hey, buy an Xbox One within the next 2 weeks, please.
Yeah, right.
Like, there was a couple of different things that they were like, you can do this right now. Limited beta.
Yeah. Hey, now don't get ahead of yourself. So they name drop some pretty heavy titles. Dragon Age will come down the pipe eventually. Titanfall is out now for free play in the vault. It also provides I don't want to say early access, but it allows you to play a game sooner than it would regularly release to the public.
Yeah, if you want to strip away all the marketing bullshit, you can say the games will release first on EA Access.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to play it before release. The game is released if you're playing it.
Right. And, you know, undoubtedly, this is not exclusive to Microsoft. I'm sure that this will be moved over to PC and Xbox or and PS4.
I mean, it hasn't yet. It's been, you know what I mean? It's been Microsoft exclusive for, what, a year now?
I guess I don't know. Sure. I assume that they would want to get their stuff out there in any way possible.
You would think, yeah. I don't know why. I guess maybe it just must be some kind of money being money changing hands. But for now, I mean, they're just sticking with Xbox One. I mean, yeah. So it would be nice to see this come to other platforms. I think it eventually will, but maybe this is like the pilot program, you know, over here on Xbox. I wonder what this is going to do to like PlayStation Plus though, and even games with gold. Like what? Do these things coexist beside each other, or like does this start to strip away all the good stuff from Games with Gold or PlayStation Plus in terms of free games? Yeah. Like, do you? I don't know. I guess it's great that people are giving us free games.
Yeah, I mean, but it is a subscription-based thing. Yeah. There will be a fee to this eventually. If you say it's been around for a year already, then there's established rates and everything.
Yeah, there is a fee. There's a fee. I think it's $5 a month. Yeah.
So, you know, you're not getting this stuff for free. And you know, in order to have access to it, you have to have gold. So you're paying an additional.
That's true. Yeah.
Price to entry.
Yeah. Do you have to have Xbox Live Gold to get EA access? I'm going to find out.
I bet you do, since so much stuff is gated behind gold.
Yeah, but they've actually gotten a little better about that. You don't need it actually.
Okay.
But yeah, you'll need it for multiplayer, but you don't need it for EA access, which is cool.
Need to have gold to have the free access for these 2 months or 2 weeks.
Yes, you do. Yeah. And yeah, I guess in the long run, it's probably worse because you're going to end up paying multiple subscription fees for fewer free games.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think EA Access has done a pretty good job of proving itself as a decent value proposition if you're really invested in EA's titles.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Dragon Age hasn't been out for a year yet and it's hitting the vault is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And then they ended the EA segment by playing a hot trailer for Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2.
Yes, with the best trailer song so far.
Yeah.
And probably going to be the best trailer song ever, because, or not ever, but of the show, because Nintendo's not going to have any trailer songs.
Right. Right. Yeah, playing Danger Zone 2 for the PBZ stuff was a solid choice.
Yep. They did well.
Yeah.
So and those plants look pretty fun.
Yeah. It looked kooky. And
yes, it did.
And they
yes,
showed a lot more of it in the EA press conference and gave a lot more details. But it was a nice little trailer to see in the middle of the Microsoft press conference.
For sure, yeah, for sure. And then cars.
Roll cars that beautiful descending beams from the sky. Footage. Yeah, they dropped a car on that ass.
Do you think like they know that like the car masturbator is in the audience, and they're like, "Well, guess we have to appeal to the car masturbator again."
Absolutely, I think that is like 100%. Like the Xbox marketing machine that's like, we need to tie ourselves to Ford.
Yeah.
We need to have these business relationships in place. Lock them in. Watch this trailer.
Yeah, I guess Microsoft's approach to these things is always more kind of businessy. So that makes a lot of sense. But right. Yeah, it's those just do so little for me. My eyes just glaze over. Like, Forza could be a fun series, but I wouldn't know it.
Right. I mean, it does. It's going to do great. It's going to make some headlines outside of gaming stuff where it's like the new Ford Phantom was shown off at the E3.
I guess so, yeah.
And it's like, check it out. It's featured in this game on this system. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think it makes supposed to be one of the sense.
Yeah, and Forza is, I mean, one of the better racers out there, right?
Yeah,
right
yes.
Like one of the better pure racers. So
yeah, and also very approachable from all accounts.
Mm, okay, well that's a good thing. Yep. I mean, I've never cared, but there it is.
Yep.
But then they did announce a game I cared about.
Uh-huh.
And a bet that I lost again. Dark Souls 3 is the name of it.
Yeah, you didn't lock that one in though. I think that was just like a I think we were both in the camp of like this cannot be Dark Souls 3.
And then the next day, literally the Dark Souls 3 title card leaked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's another CG trailer.
Another CG trailer.
Such a bummer. Stop with the CG trailers.
Yeah. And then I'm seeing today now that PlayStation is also hosting a trailer for Dark Souls 3, so exclusive trailer release, but not exclusive to the console.
Oh no, it's going to be PS4, Xbox One, PC.
PC, yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting because they had said in the leak that PC was not a sure thing. But somewhere along the line in like the past 3 days, it's become a sure thing.
Somebody wrote that patch up. They got that pre-patched.
Yeah. They just called Durante and they're like, hey, can you put this on PC? He's like, all right, yeah, sure.
No, it's got nothing better to do. Yeah, so interesting little trailer that came from that. We didn't really see any of the screenshots that had been leaked before.
No.
It was, you know, like you said, the CG trailer that, I don't know, I mean, it was a Dark Souls CG trailer, so everything was gray, everything was dead. There's a lot of dust and castles.
Yep, mention of embers.
Fire, yeah. Giant dudes.
One interesting little confirmation that we got after the show is that Miyazaki is directing this, which is crazy because he just put out Bloodborne in March.
Yep.
And I don't know what that man does.
Uh-huh. No, make it harder. No, make it. I said you will die.
I don't know how he turns games around that quickly because I don't know. But, it seems too soon, but I'm sure in a year I'll be ready to play it again.
Yeah, I have no desire to go back to Dark Souls at this point since I really like the speed and combat decisions made in in Bloodborne versus Dark Souls. So I'm not interested in going back to that world.
I mean, do you think that they mentioned kind of these like special attacks, you know, the kind of like you can, I don't really know the specifics, but you can like have different sword arts. Do you think that would pique your interest, or are you just kind of like, okay?
No, sure. If there's something more to that game, absolutely. But I'm not interested in more Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think, I don't know, I've always kind of liked the Dark Souls world better, I guess. Or I don't know. Just the ambiance of Dark Souls I've liked better. Although, I don't know. I'm undecided. I like Bloodborne a lot too, but I liked the ambiance. Comparing Dark Souls' ambiance to Bloodborne's, kind of leaving two out for a minute, I like the ambiance in Dark Souls a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm somewhat excited. I wish it wasn't annualized like this, but I guess Namco has come out and said this is the last Dark Souls.
Bamco.
Namco, sorry. they've said this is the last Dark Souls game. I'm looking forward to actual footage, though, which Microsoft did not give us.
Right, right. Well, hey, get ready for stuff that you already did not care about. Here comes a bunch of games that are multi-platform. And we get our first taste of this year's theme.
Which is what?
Exclusive beta.
Beta, yes. Exclusive beta.
For The Division.
Yeah. Which I want this for the back of the box quote, like The Last of Us, except worse in all ways.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when they initially launched, I don't think this is necessarily the time to discuss my thoughts on The Division, but there's nothing about this that what they showed to peak to continue my interest in this game.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
not a single thing. And then equally uninteresting for me was them talking the Rainbow Six Siege discussion and video that they showed.
I'm excited about Rainbow Six Siege, actually, and we can talk about that more during the Ubi discussion. Yeah. But yeah. I think it looks pretty cool.
Sure.
But once again, they're throwing, you know, if you can't get an exclusive beta, then throw in prepackaged last-gen versions of games.
Hell yeah.
Throwing in two Rainbow Six games for free.
Right. You know what's better than up-reses? Ports.
Emulated ports.
Oh, baby.
Baby. So yeah, they went through all the Ubi shit, and then kind of went into indie real time.
Right, they went into bathroom break time because they showed off a gigantic, what is presumably an arena-based MOBA-style game.
Yeah.
With a tweak.
My joke was that, yeah, it has Guardians in it, and my joke was, those aren't the last Guardians you'll be seeing today.
Oh!
Oh!
Double the Guardians.
Yeah.
You got Halo 5 Guardians and Gigantic with Guardians. And
the other Guardian.
Yeah.
You know, that one.
No.
The penultimate Guardian.
So then they went into the true indie sizzle stuff, which is
just a gazillion games.
Yeah. So.
But then they had a couple people up on stage.
Yeah.
They had the Gone Home people up there talking about Tacoma. Mm-hmm. And I think they had showed this maybe last year or at some point. I've seen this before. It looks familiar. At least I knew that they were on the moon, like in a space station or whatever. Mm. But it looks really cool. I like that Fulbright, their approach to people is, first, we can't do them and Gone Home. Then it's, oh, we can do them, but they're not actually people. They're just outlines of people.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there someday.
Yeah. It looks really fun, though. I'm excited to play what I'm assuming will just be another kind of environmental ambiance walking simulator with maybe some light puzzles and
better than a standing simulator, am I right?
I thought that was a people watching shopping mall simulator.
Yeah, that's true too.
But so, yeah,
we've had a day to sleep on these conferences, so yeah.
But yeah, no, it looks fun. I'm excited for Tacoma. Mm-hmm, and did they say that was Xbox One? No, first on Xbox One.
Yeah,
those cheeky bastards.
Yep. Yep. So then they showed off some DayZ stuff, right? Or no, this is
No. They showed off Ashen, which they described it in a way that made me think, oh, this is just aping DayZ.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually doesn't look to be entirely aping DayZ at all.
Yeah. Has like a Shadow of the Colossus art style sort of thing.
It does, yeah. Like, and a gigantic flying
rail dragons.
Yeah. You can't really like go wrong if there's a giant flying whale dragon.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, I was like ready to hate that game, and then they showed that, and I was like, shit, I think I have to care.
I kind of had the same sentiments about the Squid and Tiger Beyond Eyes game. I really liked what they were showing there, where it's like, this is a blind girl, you're experiencing this world in an interesting way, where what they kind of did was they would show... the one image that stood out to me was like the girl is walking, and there's kind of like this light orb around her that's casting images and colors and whatnot, and then there's those like manifestations out in the world as well as mm-hmm. as to what the character would think that these objects were. So she's walking forward and she sees like a bird on a tree, and as she gets closer to it, she reaches out a hand, and the tree turns into a stoplight with the blinker on it that's chirping to tell her to cross the street. And I'm like, oh, that's a really interesting little design there for like explaining a way that you would visualize something without seeing it.
That's actually really cool, and I didn't notice that in the trailer somehow. When I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, this is a really interesting concept, but it's not really being properly explored here.
Mm.
I totally didn't see that. I must have just been like in some mode of delirium, because that sounds super awesome.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple other instances of that, but that was the biggest one that I was like, okay, that's this is cool.
Yeah, that's really neat. Because I was kind of ready to write that one off after watching the trailer, but I clearly need to go back and have a more careful look at it, because I think at that point I was like only halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, another, I was having your reaction, like, oh, another indie game with an art style.
Another Brothers game. Great.
I love Brothers. You shut up. Great game.
Speaking of Brothers, the Cuphead Bros came out and talked about their new game, Cuphead. I don't know. Their transition from art character to 1940s cartoon action shooter.
I just love that trailer. They were like, Cuphead makes a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was it Cuphead and Mugboy or something?
He made a bet with the devil and he lost, and then he had to go do the devil's bidding and kill all his bosses or something. It was something really cheeky and cheesy like that.
Yeah.
But I just thought it looks amazing. I mean, it looks so pretty. It appears to just be, I guess, a boss rush of sorts, but still, I would still play the hell out of that game. It looks so cool.
Doesn't it have just an absurd amount of bosses, like in the 30s or something like that? I recall that being a number from years ago.
That seems like it could be right. We saw, maybe 10 or so in just the trailer alone. Mm-hmm. And they're really well animated. It just looks amazing.
Yeah, and it's multiplayer.
I'm really impressed. Oh, is it really? That's really cool.
Well, there's two dudes on screen, so I'm assuming one isn't just AI jumping around.
That's probably true. I didn't even notice.
Yeah. It's really checked out for this indie section.
Yeah, apparently. Well, you know me, I can't stand indie games.
Yeah, that's true. So DayZ actually did come up on stage eventually?
Yeah, no. Well, it's going to be in early access.
Oh, right. This is the game that was not a game.
Yeah, but then after that, they brought up Dean Hall. They're like, well, in case you didn't have enough DayZ, here's Dean Hall to talk about his new game that isn't DayZ.
Right. And I felt like this was the No Man's Sky pitch where they're like, I want to make something that's bigger than games.
This was worse because he was like, I want a game that isn't a game. Mm-hmm. I want an MMO experience unlike anything you've ever had. Check out this CG trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, you can't just say that and have nothing.
Yeah.
It reminds me, you know what it reminds me of more than anything else? It reminds me of that Nintendo World Championship video where Tanner the kid is like, you can make a game where you could do anything. Wait, that's Dean Hall.
Jeff, I can't believe that you remember that kid had a name in that video. And the fact that you do now makes me want him to be a playable character in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's basically what just happened in that part of the conference. It was like, I'm going to make a game where you can do anything ever.
Yeah.
I haven't made it yet. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yep.
You made a kind of shitty armor mod that had a really interesting concept, so I'm sure that'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the real, they then did a little Tomb Raider gameplay bit on... Was it on stage? Or was that pre-recorded?
No, it was live, and my joke was that the autosave logo, which came up all the time, must just be the new version of the dying controller, so everyone knows that you're legit.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I didn't really notice it until you mentioned it, but then, yeah, it was always in the bottom right corner.
Yeah. What do you think of that demo that they showed off?
More climbing ice walls in a Microsoft press conference.
I just thought it was really boring. Yep. It's funny because they showed this gameplay demo, which was like, you know, basically an Uncharted set piece. Let's be real here. Mm-hmm. And as you know, those tend to be pretty unlosable. They're like, they're spectacle, but that's all.
Right.
And I couldn't help but feel totally jaded about that. And then they showed like a short trailer afterwards that showed actual gameplay, which looked like so much fun.
It did. Yeah.
I don't know why they showed this stupid thing.
Right.
I think Microsoft in general needs to get away from this idea that spectacle, like just pure spectacle, is what people want to see, because I think that's what informs their decision to like have all these stupid CG trailers. Because like they had a CG trailer for Lara Croft for Tomb Raider. Like why have that? Just have the gameplay. Mm-hmm. Stop it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's how I felt.
Yeah. I don't know. The like kind of pit of the stomach, like brick tension that game was going for in that bit, I don't enjoy. So they could have shown that could have been any game doing the same thing, and it would have been for me. Like the thing that I like about Uncharted is how goofy it is. I don't want the Tomb Raider side of things where it's just like, oh, she's gonna hit this rock and probably break all her ribs.
Ugh. I know. Somebody must have a huge boner for Lara just getting hurt really badly. Because she just gets hurt really badly. Like Nate does not get hurt that badly.
No. I mean, he does, like, but he just like dusts himself off and he's like, yeah.
I fell. My ankle bone is protruding from my leg. Right. Oh no. Let's splint it up real quick and I'll be fine for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Let me just shuffle slowly while somebody reads me or narrates to me. Okay, all better.
I mean, that's essentially what happens to Lara as well. but it's just far more grisly.
It is, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I don't
you remember
why.
That scene when that space marine ripped her leg off and stuffed it down her mouth, and then she just walked it off?
I have a hard time telling id tech Lara apart from crystal tools Lara.
It's the Tress effects; they're everywhere. So then, to kind of bring that intensity down, they brought Rare up on stage and showed off Rare Replay.
Yep. Which was widely rumored already. I think it's pretty cool. I don't think it was necessarily conference worthy, but mm-hmm. You know, Blastcore, man.
Yeah, they got to put a bunch of logos on screen.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. 10,000 gamer score.
Yeah,
the biggest letters ever.
Yep. get your Battletoads the way you want it, you fucking idiots.
Apparently there are going to be small tweaks for each game, though. Like, I guess The Battletoads segment, like the auto run sections of mm-hmm. Battletoads are going to have like assists to make them a little bit easier.
Oh, interesting. I was wondering if they're going to do like the savable game state, like Nintendo Virtual Console stuff.
Something like that, I think. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like a rewind or something. Yeah. Yeah. And then they announced something that I think nobody expected or wanted.
Blindsided everybody.
Everyone's like, Rare is working on something. They're going to make Banjo 3. They're going to make, I don't know, friggin' what else do people want?
New Battletoads.
Viva Pinata.
Oh, don't you.
You're crazy.
There needs to be a new battle or a new Viva Pinata.
And then it was just some dumb-looking pirate MMO.
Yep. Yeah. I had a cool, like, I kind of like the art style because it reminded me of Monkey Island, the remake ones.
Yeah, the skeletons look pretty cute,
but
I will say.
Then you're, like, on a boat and it's ship-to-ship combat and there's other people on the boat and it's just like, oh, God, people's gamer tags floating above their heads and...
Yeah, it was a bummer. It was a super, super bummer. I don't know why... It just, why, how are you so tone deaf?
Right. Well, this is what really kicked it off for me, the whole, like, just slipping, sliding feeling of disgust through this E3 was multiplayer open world.
Yeah, that seems to be the big trend right now. Yeah. It's real sad.
Yeah, so that they titled it Sea of Thieves, mm-hmm. and I guess you get loot and maybe fight shit or something, who knows.
Something like that, yeah. And then they followed up with another turd.
Mm-hmm.
This one not from Rare. But this is Fable Legends.
Yeah,
and was it revealed as free-to-play for the first time?
I think it was known to be free-to-play, but I'm just waiting for when they're going to pay me to play it.
I still wouldn't play it.
No. Nope.
My time is worth more than their money.
Yeah,
that game just looks like a big pile of trash.
Right.
I'm going to be real honest with you.
Yet another CG trailer for that, too.
Yeah, which is weird because they've showed that game.
Yep.
Like running and being a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So continuing moving forward here, they talked a little bit about their Valve partnership by putting the Xbox in with the VR headset, right?
Well, you're getting mixed up. So the Xbox One controller is packed with Oculus Rift.
With Rift,
so that's they're embedded with every single VR person except for Morpheus, obviously.
Okay.
But they're like making sure they have a little bit of, like, they're hedging their bets as hard as they can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they've got that with Oculus. They've got the game streaming, and then they were like, we have a relationship with Valve VR.
Okay, that's what it was.
And then that's what they said.
Got
and
it.
I was like, okay, what does that mean?
Right.
Literally, they just said that and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they said was it's going to be like optimized for Windows 10.
Sure.
So I guess what you can read from this is like maybe Gabe Newell doesn't hate Microsoft anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
Because remember Gabe Newell was very outspoken against Windows 8. Like,
right.
Oh, this is a really shitty
piece
of software here. So maybe that's to be taken away. I mean, it was really kind of a throwaway remark.
Right.
And then it was kind of their excuse to say like, hey, also we're doing VR. And I was expecting to be super bored. I'm still far from convinced of the viability of this thing, but HoloLens is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think HoloLens was probably the coolest bit of VR tech I've seen in a while.
Yeah,
first
definitely
of all,
cooler than Morpheus.
That headset looks pretty fucking rad.
I guess so. Yeah, it does look pretty cool.
Like a big clear ass space visor that goes in front of your face. I kind of like that, opposed to like like this box that I'm taping onto my eyeballs. I do appreciate that. But you know what they showed of it, where it's like you can place it on a wall, or you can put stuff on, you can put Minecraft on a table and poke around at it. All that was really neat and kind of like obvious. I don't know. Obvious is probably a little selling it short, but
well, I think it was obvious, but it was also really cool. And it looked pretty fantastic, right. I will say.
It reminded me of like the AR card that came with the 3DS, and you could put it on the ground and shoot.
And that really took off, don't you know?
Yeah, I'm still playing that.
That's how I feel about it. It's like, it's really interesting, but nobody wants to play a game like on a table. You have to have a flat surface around.
I think it's more like nobody has made an interesting game that you can do
that
true.
With. It's very true. I think the Minecraft implementation was cool.
Like,
but
here's,
you know,
an easy
it's only
solution.
As cool as like a 5-year-old game can be.
Right. You just make a card game, right? With physical cards, and you have like the Star Wars chess battle where you're putting cards down on the table and the Yu-Gi-Oh monsters pop out of them and they battle each other when you stick them next to each other. There you go. $1 million. It's like that that Eye of Judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, how can that be more than just like something that you milk until it dies?
Right.
Like something that, you know what I mean? Like, how can that be more than just a gimmick?
Right.
Like that's I want to understand why VR is something that's really going to be important. And I don't think it's been fully articulated yet.
When I was talking to Hunter about the HoloLens, I was saying, you know, it'd be really cool if you put the HoloLens hat on and then you could essentially build your house around you in a virtual environment. So you could rebuild your living room to look like it's a Minecraft room. So you paint your walls to have like the Minecraft textures, your couch looks like a Minecraft couch, your fridge looks like a Minecraft fridge, all that stuff. I think that'd be really fucking cool.
That would be pretty cool. Apparently, though, the FOV on HoloLens is pretty small right now, so good luck on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would imagine it just can't do that kind of processing.
Yeah, that's the big thing that people were saying, like, oh, well, you know, don't believe. Like, in the small area where this works, it works amazingly, but the FOV is not what you've been led to believe in stage demos, essentially, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. All right. Well, I still want to see more from it, since I haven't ever looked into an Oculus Rift or anything like that, but to me, an augmented reality is more interesting than the virtual reality.
I don't think it matters until they make one where we're having sex with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, well,
then society at large will take on.
Wait till we get to the end of the final or the final press conference of yesterday, the PlayStation one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it was actually after the press conference. You talk about Summer Lesson.
Yes.
Oh yeah. You'll be learning a lot in that lesson.
Oh yeah. So they ended their conference in probably the best way possible by confirming that Gears of War will have a remake for
beta starts today.
Oh
yesterday.
Yeah. But then they went on to show the Coalition team, which the dude was it Rod Ferguson, I think. Did stumble on the name. It was like, still Black Tusk to me, damn it.
And then they showed off Resident Evil 4-2.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, you want to reboot your franchise? Do it this way.
What better place to look than one of the greater games of the PS2 era?
Yeah. So they showed off what was clearly a Gears of War game, the next Gears of War, and it had atmosphere, it had tension, it had
restraint,
characters that I didn't immediately hate. There was a definite lack of do-rag.
I wonder if the do-rag will be found at a pivotal moment and then he'll put it on and the game will suddenly just be drenched in brown. just like shit filter will just dribble down the screen and cover the entire screen. It looks really good. Yeah. I was really impressed with that.
It did.
Hell of a reveal right there. Definitely a huge thematic change. I hope people don't care because this looks like a better game.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It does look like a really... It looks so good, it almost doesn't even look like a Gears of War game.
So true.
Yeah, interestingly enough, though, they did title it Gears 4 at the end of the trailer. So that, I mean, take that as you will. But coming out next year, maybe.
Yeah, next year.
Dated next year, as most things will be.
Unfortunate that the trend amongst these shows was stuff that's not coming out for like a year.
Yep. So notable absences, we didn't see anything from Activision, as you had predicted.
Yeah, I did predict it.
No Call of Duty, which was so surprise to me.
I told you though, man, the writing was on the wall. If where the Mountain Dew goes,
where the Mountain Dew flows,
the Call of Duty goes.
You predicted that there would be something that you wanted exclusive to Xbox One. So yeah, I think you got that.
Yes.
And I'm trying to remember what my thing was.
I'll check. I got the thing up right here.
Yeah,
you predicted no Scalebound demo, and you nailed that one.
Yeah, no Scalebound. Yeah. But I think we knew that before the conference going in. There was an announcement saying that no Scalebound would be shown.
Yeah, that's okay.
Alongside the what's it called, the Quantum Break.
Yes, no Quantum Break, no Scalebound, and something else too.
Yeah,
something else that we care about, but I really can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care that much.
Yeah, well, I don't. Hey, don't box me in. I don't care about Scalebound.
How can you not care about Scalebound? It's Platinum.
It's a CG trailer.
That's true. It's so true. But it's Kamiya. He's good.
It's a CG trailer with dragons. I don't think you can get more uninteresting to me.
But Kamiya knows what's happening, man.
Yeah. There's a guy with headphones and he's doing backflips and grinning at the screen and
perfect.
And he's riding a dragon or something.
Sign me up. Yeah. You said all the things I like. I don't need anything else. I don't need an actual game. Just show me that trailer.
Connect enabled.
For $60. Yes, Connect enabled. Yes.
Yeah. So then that was it. A pretty, I don't know, like, it was a conference that still had that, like, tinge of mea culpa in it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, backwards compatible. Sorry. We're still sorry, guys. Still sorry.
It was definitely very focused, and I think this was true of Sony's conference as well. It was just very game focused, which is, you know, I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, much more game focused than normal. Like, we didn't see any TV stuff. No mention of TV on Xbox One.
Not a word.
Yep.
Frankly, they talked about it less than Sony did.
Mm-hmm.
I think heading out of that conference, it felt pretty solid because you kind of saw all the major stuff that they've been working on.
Uh-huh.
I think it was kind of dwarfed by later stuff. In
absolutely,
the day,
yeah, for sure.
Fortunately for them, it was definitely a solid showing. I mean, maybe some underrepresentation from certain types of genres, like stuff that would appeal to me, basically.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really RPG-ish.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, some nice feathers in their hats. You know, they have a game that's coming out this year that they showed off with Halo 5 that looks good. Forza 6 as well coming out this year.
Yeah. They showed off a first party release says coming this year. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't think Sony showed any first party releases coming this year.
Right.
So there's certainly that.
Yep. Yeah. And enough little tidbits to keep, you know, console owners interested in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Probably not nearly as many as they should have, but, Crackdown was the other one that they decided.
Oh yeah. Crackdown.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder which of these are going to slip away from Gamescom. Place your bets now.
So that's it for Microsoft. We'll wrap this one up and move on to EA.
All right. Yeah.
All
right,
yeah.
We're just going to cut right to it?
That's right. We're going to see you in part three.
All right.
Go to day, and I, oh, if I let you inside my mind.